This is episode 29 of That Time I Got Reincarnated in the Same World as an Anime Podcaster, where we talk about anime and manga because it's important to us. I'm your host, Isekai Sensei-sama, aka Brad, and I'm joined in this weeb cabal by Bento Baggins, aka Ben.
Hisashibori.
And Kermit D. Grog.
Ahoy hoy.
If it's your first time here, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss the other series on our feed. We've got Heroin Addiction, where Ben and I read romance and drama manhwa and then spend 2 hours picking it apart. And Shonen Jumping the Gun, where Kermit makes me read the first chapter of a manga to try and predict its longevity. And now, Bakubanashi, where we just do whatever the hell we feel like. And we want to hear from you. You can talk to us on our many different social media platforms, which you can find links to in the description and on our website, animepodcasterreincarnation.com. Come hang out with us on Discord, listen to our Spotify playlist, and get episodes early along with bonus episodes and other perks by supporting us on Patreon. And don't forget to rate the podcast and tell your friends. Now, as always, before we jump into the discussion today, we've got a couple things to talk about.
We got some which news.
We call the news. But before I get to any kind of like specific series to talk about, which we'll do as quickly as possible today, there's a couple of things we want to get to first. So first of all, to anybody who isn't on the Discord, you might have noticed it's been a while since we've had a mainline episode. We are changing our schedule. We're going to 6 weeks now instead of every 4 weeks. This episode was also a week late. We decided to change the format of the podcast, but people weren't really down for that, so we decided to go back to the normal one.
We're not becoming NPR.
It did not go over.
Nobody
well.
Liked it. People, I'm done with April Fool's Day. Everybody can be done with April Fool's Day.
Well, did people like it, or did they just not give it a chance?
I think both.
Yeah, probably both.
Both.
The people
who tried it did not like it, and a bunch of people also just that normally try it did not try it.
We had so many fewer downloads than normal. I was like, that's weird because it's short. You'd think people would at least download it.
No, people don't trust April Fool's. Like, weird length April Fool's Day episodes are never a good sign.
I saw more pushback on April Fool's Day this year than I think I've ever seen.
I'm happy for it. It's growing. Someday it will be dead, and I'll be okay with that.
I'd be down for doing something more low-key if people wanted that, but apparently not.
We have a show now that we can put weird bullshit in, so
that's true.
Whenever we feel like.
That said, I don't plan on reading any light novels anytime soon, so.
Good. 1,000 chapters, my ass.
1,000 chapters in 1 year.
I didn't know if he was lying or not. He could have been pulling my leg, and he's like, "It's real." I'm like, "It's real?"
I don't know.
You didn't make that up?
It's more than two a day.
So not very many people.
Every chapter is a word, and altogether they form a sentence over a week's time.
Not too many people listen to it, but also I know, you know, we don't have a ton of patrons at this point, so a lot of people didn't hear the bonus episode. I did stick this in the bonus episode near the end of the episode when I was going through the comments that I had picked out from the site.
That didn't make it where you break down?
I put it in the bonus episode.
Oh, 'cause it's so good.
So I'll read this again for everybody. So just to be clear, this light novel that we quote-unquote covered, what did I say? What was it? 972
Almost
chapters.
1,000 chapters.
In less than a year. Multiple chapters a day.
Garbage.
Now, I will say the chapters are fairly short. It's not like a regular chapter in a book, so multiple chapters a day does make sense, but still, that's insane. So one of the comments here is, the novel leaves me generally mixed. The first few chapters were a pain to read, but it's getting better. I recommend reading up to chapter 200 to really get a feel for
it. He can't make it.
I read that.
The veneer dropped and he could not maintain the serious face, and it just broke into giggles, and then literally could not do the next one because he was just so, like, that seems like a thing I would do. So the fact that broke through your wall was the best thing ever.
Like, who said, oh, just read 200 chapters to get into it?
You just got to watch three entire seasons of this, you know, 30 episode per season anime, and that's when it gets good.
Those are your people, man. That's isekai fans. That's what they want.
These are your cohorts, Brad. Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Well, it sort of does explain the whole marketing strategy we were talking about in the Discord, where, like, the marketing is, hey, there's tons and tons of, there's 18 hours worth of this audiobook. Like, why is that a selling point?
J.J. Bookman or something. I forget his name. It's obviously a fake name. Bookerson. That's his name. J.J. Bookerson.
Son of Book.
I keep running into his ads, and it's always big titty anime girls. And that's his advertising point. He's like, do you want an isekai with an overpowered protagonist and a harem of cute beast girls? And
it's that's all of them.
That's all of them.
I was going to say, I feel like you're serving to an overserved market, but I guess
it's ridiculous.
He's bought multiple ads, and they're all targeted at me because I research stuff for this and other podcasts.
But what if it was written specifically for you, American Western Shonen?
I read the preview, and I don't want to be harsh, and maybe this gets cut from the episode, I don't know, but I would, instead of investing in Reddit advertising, I would have gone with a Grammarly subscription.
I'd rather shove a live hand grenade up my behind than have to read this triple. That's my ad. I haven't even touched it.
To be fair, when people are consuming things just to consume them, if it's written properly, probably isn't a big deal.
Put the glasses on.
Anyway, moving on. That was all about our schedule change, just in case you forgot.
You should also say that heroin addiction is also moving to 6 weeks, is it not?
Yes, yeah. So basically, everything that was on the four-week schedule is now on the six-week.
So there are two episodes of other things in between
Every
main line and every heroin addiction now. Yeah.
Since we've got a ton of Shonen Jumping the Gun now, because there's so many first chapters of manga.
New ones coming. Stuff's dying.
And now we got Bakuganashi, so we're going to spread that out a little bit. And also because Ben decided to take on a whole bunch of extra work on Words About Books, and then also got sucked into...
Take on a whole bunch of extra work at his job.
Yeah.
When are you going to quit?
I can't. They pay me too much.
Do they?
Anyway.
They pay me more than anyone else has. So.
I think you've been there long enough. You can go someplace
Stick
else.
Them up.
Discussion for a bonus episode, maybe. So recently, Kermit was at Zenkai Con.
Yes.
Which we were a little surprised about. That was rather sudden.
Yes, it was. I was sitting down thinking I was like, oh, I wasn't on the schedules. And then my friend goes, hey, I thought you weren't coming. Your name's on the schedule. So
we submitted, how many panels did you submit?
Like four or five.
And
none of them made it through the first two major lists.
As far as we knew,
I was an afterthought of an afterthought.
We got rejected, and then like 2 weeks before, it's like, oh, by the way, they never even emailed you, did they?
They emailed me the next night after my friend told me, but I was on the official schedule before I was told I was on the official schedule.
Anyway,
regardless.
So Kermit was at Zenkai Con. He presented a panel on the history of Shonen Jump.
He presented Shonen Jump. I called it Boy Bounce Book, History of Shonen Jump. Some of it's the history. Some of it is, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably already know, because it's like getting across of like, hi, this is how big and important this magazine is. Like, here's all the top-selling manga. Here are all the ones that come from just Shonen Jump itself. And then it was a bunch of like, hey, here's some cool stuff that's in Jump now that you probably haven't heard about.
But if you're interested in that, at some point in the next probably couple weeks, I'm not sure when, I don't have it scheduled yet, we actually recorded the panel, not at Zenkai Con, but ahead of time.
So the audio quality is good.
As practice, and also to put out on YouTube. So make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel so you get alerted when that comes out. Personally, I think it was really good. So. Thanks. And that's not just because I had a tiny little bit part in it.
It was a very good bit part. But yeah, if people like it, we may make more, because I like making panels and I don't always have the opportunity to put them places.
Did you enjoy your first con experience?
Oh, I didn't go.
Reggie you didn't go. Go to the con.
No, I literally...
This was not a panel that he was in.
I recorded... It was like a minute and a half.
It was like 2 minutes. It little was a really bit. Good bit. Like, he had broken into the episode. Like, I was presenting, and then I go, I'm about to go to the recommendations, and then I get a black screen. I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, tech, what's going on? And then, like, Brad turns, like, clears his throat and turns on a light. It got a good laugh. It got a good reaction. It went really well.
Oh, speaking of which, I'm glad I remembered this.
Oh.
If you were at Zenkai Con and you went to the Otome Isekai panel, or if you were the person running it, if anybody is listening...
I forgot. I need to look back into that.
That went to Zenkai Con and is listening to
us.
We
need to know who that was. Yeah. I saw them and they seemed very astute, but the problem was my panel was starting next in the room next door, so I was not there at a time that I could be like, hey, here's my card. Please contact us. We'd like to talk to you.
Yeah. We'd like to talk to them.
Schedule online doesn't have the name of who did it or their contact info, so...
We have overlapping interests, so if someone can get us some information...
We had a giant wheel that was like, here's the heroine's journey and like the steps that takes of what that is compared to the hero's journey. I'm like, this sounds like our stuff. You need to be on here.
That does sound like a good one, yeah.
Exactly. I can only poke my head in for a couple minutes, but it seemed like, oh, you know your stuff. You are bookish about this.
Also, apparently they're not putting them online anymore.
They did that like twice then. They did not do that for long.
Yeah.
They were doing it.
But hopefully someone listening can
do some more sleuthing.
Get us some information. Next up. So this is just a little bit of news about this podcast, I guess, again. Next episode, episode 30. Is our third annual review extravaganza.
Review extravaganza!
So just wanted to put that out there, make sure people are prepared.
Have read the recommendations from last time and are ready. I'm ready.
Review extravaganza has continued to be one of our most popular episodes.
Who knew?
Apparently people just like reviews. Yeah, so be prepared for that. Get subscribed if you're not.
I've got a good one, folks. Get ready for it.
All right. So, April anime.
Springtime.
It's isekai season.
Oh, no.
Isn't that they every know, season these days?
Well,
yeah.
No.
Now this there's is, more. The bucket is being tipped this, over.
You,
we got a ladle instead of our gloved hand.
It's honestly pretty ridiculous. Looking at this list, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7 isekai.
That's a lot of isekai.
I don't
After
even...
After all the isekai we've had, are all those new or some of those follow-ups?
There's a couple of second season.
Okay, still
yeah.
though. Wow.
That's not even all of them. Those are just the ones that I, like,
knew about
read.
Picked. Yeah. Like, that you know about or that you picked?
Like, that I actively am interested in.
Oh, okay, yeah.
There's a couple on there that I was like, I haven't heard of that, but I don't read it or anything, so whatever. Anyway, so we'll get through this quickly. A lot of these I already mentioned last episode.
But it's been a while.
Archdemon's Dilemma, How to Love Your Elf Bride. I mentioned that last time. It's a good series. I know, sounds cringy, but it's pretty good.
Okay.
Might be worth checking out. I don't know. All these animes... I don't know which ones are shovelware or not.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I do know one that's shovelware. I actually didn't put it on this list because it's like the hero is got kicked out and is going to do his own thing or whatever the hell it's called. I literally...
Bullshit title, really.
I'm into those kind of stories. I looked this one up because it's getting an anime. It was rated on... I think it was Mangadex I was looking at. It was rated like 6.3. I was like, why is this getting an anime? This is ridiculous.
Desperate. Money.
Content.
Anyway,
moving on. Re-Monster. I talked about that one.
Okay.
I don't know how they're going to make that an anime, but we'll see. There's so much RPG bullshit in there. I was reincarnated as the Seventh Prince. Also interested to see how that's going to translate. It's a very stylized manga, so not sure how that's going to work. That time I got reincarnated as a slime. That's my birthday present.
Ooh.
It's coming back. As a reincarnated aristocrat, I'll use my appraisal skill. It's good. I like the manga. Mushoku Tensei's coming back for another season. Oh, here's one. I saw this one on the list. I had never heard of it before, but then I looked up the manga and it looked pretty interesting. It's called Go Go Loser Ranger.
Oh, interesting.
So,
you piqued my curiosity.
It's got a lot of different genre tags on it, but there is a comedy tag on there. There was...
And it's an isekai?
No.
Oh, okay. No. Still intrigued.
From what I could gather from just looking at stuff, I didn't start reading it or anything. It looks like something happens on the Earth, and then there's monsters and bad guys and stuff. And the main character seems to have been rejected from this Super Sentai group. So he's like on his own. And then there's that group that's doing their fighting thing. So, but it looked interesting. So I wanted to bring that up as something people might want to check out.
Maybe we'll have another Trier's Platter episode.
Chilling in Another World with Level 2 Super Cheat Powers. I talked about that one before as well. I really like the manga. Anime might be good. Again,
don't know.
It's all a crapshoot. Who knows which one of these is the, or how many
trash
of these are the shovelware.
Yes.
Konosuba's coming back.
Konosuba's coming back.
Misfit of Demon King Academy is also coming back. I think that's season 3 now. Or it might just be season 2, part 2. I didn't watch all of the second season of that, but I did enjoy the first season, so.
Couldn't speak to it.
And Kaiju number 8 is starting in April.
We should probably look at that. Even if I stopped reading it ages ago. Do you also have Dandadan on your list? Doesn't Dandadan start?
You know what? I didn't see that. I know that
I swear
they dropped
season.
The trailer for it.
I swear that was spring. Maybe not. Maybe that's summer. That's maybe it's getting you excited. Wet in your beak.
All of those are in April. In May.
Spy Family movie in April in America.
Yeah.
I've got it on my calendar when it starts airing.
People should definitely check that out. We might do a little quick, hot, fast thing, whatever I called them before.
A movie minute
we haven't
or whatever.
Done that in a while after we see that. And finally, in May, I have one thing. My Hero Academia is coming back.
No.
Maybe it's better.
No. Everything Ben's told us does not give me faith that it's going to be better.
Hey,
it's not like One Punch Man season 2 where it's like, oh, your budget got slashed. It's just like I'm tired. This is homework. Just cut to like, is Miracle on? Is somebody cool doing a cool thing? Cut to that. Otherwise, I don't care.
Is it as bad as Demon Slayer where the final battle is like 2 volumes?
Well, it's still going, isn't it?
2 volumes. That's ambitious.
2 years.
No, it's 2 years. Yeah. It's probably covering close to like 6 volumes.
Jesus Christ.
And I'm kind of worried because like the art for the manga has gotten great. Legitimately, he's a great artist. And he has gotten so much better as the series has gone on. But I just don't see an anime season doing this big final battle with as much like style as has been brought to the manga, because it's going to cost too much because every episode is just fighting.
Yeah. There was a lot last season. There was a lot of standing there looking menacing.
Go, 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 go. Yes. Yeah, and a lot of just other garbage. Dang it, Big Shonen. This disappointed me. I need a new baby. When it comes to I don't even know if it's an isekai. I don't even know what it's actually called, but I swear I saw, maybe it's not even in spring, that freaking manga that it's like my elf girlfriend's got a fat ass or something is getting an anime. I don't know what it's actually called. It's like My Chubby Elf Wife or something.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. I don't think that's an isekai, but...
It's got big isekai light novel energy.
Is that different from the elf one you mentioned?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Which is what made me think. For some reason, I had in my head that was getting an anime, and I'm like, I'm curious how that's going to work.
No, the an Archdemon's Dilemma, he's like actually like respectful and
No,
I have no idea what the I have no idea the context of it
or something.
Yeah, an archdemon's dilemma. Dash.
Oh,
how to love
she's
your elf
specifically
bride.
Chubby. That's all. I only know this from covers of mangas that I've seen at the bookstore. That have caught my eye, but I have not cracked them open.
I'm sure it will be handled with the grace and sensitivity befitting of an isekai storyteller.
You know, Japanese artists, they don't usually put weight on people. They don't get it yet. They don't get it. Like I said, they're slowly figuring out butts. They have not fully realized the power of a fat ass yet. And this is the world we live in.
Especially not on elves.
Yeah, and in general, because usually elves are small. We're getting distracted. We're going on a tangent.
We're always distracted.
Yeah.
Anyway, so...
let's drive the bus.
Happy birthday to me. I'm going to take a week off at the end of the month.
Just binge it.
Just to watch all the anime and read all the manga. Well, as I'm sure everyone has heard by now, the very sad news that Akira Toriyama has passed happened in early March, March 1st, I believe. We wanted to take some time to talk about Toriyama and his influence on manga and anime and us. Having grown up with a lot of his works. So, first off, I just wanted to give a couple little factoids. I was looking some stuff up earlier, and I thought these would be nice to talk a little bit about his earlier work before we jump into the stuff that really got us into anime. So... born in 1955. So, what was it? He was 68.
He wasn't that old. I was I always assumed he was older, and I was really shocked. It was like, oh, he's had a run, and then I saw he was 60, and I'm like, jeez.
Oh, and I should say, happy birthday, Akira Toriyama. His birthday is April 5th, which is when we're recording this today.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so... he actually got his start in Shonen Jump. He had done a couple things before that, but just sort of very low-level stuff. In 1987, year I was born.
Wow.
His first thing in Shonen Jump was Wonder Island. Hmm. And it was a one-shot, and no one liked it.
I wonder if it's ever been localized.
Yes, it has. I'll get
I mean,
to that
it must,
because
there's so many other artists that get their stuff localized, even when it's not good, when they're... their thing become their current stuff gets big.
So it the reader survey, it came in last place.
Oh my,
in the reader survey.
Wow.
So
don't give up on your dreams, kids.
Not a great start. Apparently he was planning to quit manga after the Wonder Island 2, which he did shortly after, came out. But apparently got so mad that it was so poorly received that he decided to keep going out of spite.
Spite is a wonderful... spite is a powerful motivator.
Yep.
Apparently, I'm not sure exactly when they did this, but Wonder Island and Wonder Island 2 got compiled into an anthology called Akira Toriyama's Manga Theater, which you can find out on Viz. I'm not sure if it's on the Viz app or the Shonen Jump app.
I can't wait to read this bad
manga. It's on the Shonen Jump app.
There's 21 chapters. I'm not sure how long each of them are, because like I said, Wonder Island and Wonder Island 2 were one-shots. Thank you to Maxi B for sorting me out on that, because I thought it was a whole series that came out in 1987 to 1989.
Great friend of the show, Maxi B.
But yeah, so I thought it was a whole series, but it was, turns out to just be an anthology. So I'm sorry, I said that wrong. I wrote it down wrong. It was 1978.
I was confused because I was going to say Dragon Ball, I thought, was 89.
Well, and that's the thing, because my other note here, my next note, is Dr. Slump started in 1980, which wouldn't make any sense if Wonder Island was his first in 1987.
Came after, and Dr. Slump was a big hit. He wrote Dr. Slump, and then he wrote some real dog shit manga, Wonder Island and Wonder Island 2, everybody hated.
I'm going to leave that in there for everybody to see. It's good to double check your notes, folks. Anyway, so yeah, Dr. Slump started in 1980 and went to only 1984, not super long.
But big hit, like,
yes.
Dr. Slump is something we got localized over here. I mean, admittedly, decades later, but...
A big enough of a hit that the anime started in 1981.
Wow! That feels like a quick turnaround. I mean, yeah. I mean, I wasn't alive then to know if that was a quick turnaround, but that feels... Well, that's faster than now.
It's pretty fast. And the really amazing thing is the time slot that Dr. Slump went into, Akira Toriyama kept until 1999. That was the slot that Dragon Ball then went into.
It was
into.
Just the Akira Toriyama slot.
And then...
The way that like One Piece has its forever slot.
Later on, the Dr. Slump reboot went into that slot.
Reboot? Yeah. Reboot? There was a reboot?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I thought that was really interesting. I
that's
mean,
neat.
Because that's 18 years, they say. 81 to 99.
I would say outside of Oda, I don't know if I'd be curious to know if any other artist kept like a slot.
Yeah. So those are some interesting facts that I found about, you know, his early career. Thought I'd share those. Honestly, the Wikipedia entry for his early work and stuff is fascinating. I would recommend just reading it. There's a lot going on here. But we did want to talk a little bit about how, I guess, Dragon Ball Z mostly really was a very early influence for me especially, but I think for a lot of people. And I can say Dragon Ball Z was probably the first anime that I saw that I was like, oh, this is anime.
Yeah,
because I definitely seen like Pokemon and stuff
doesn't
before
count.
That, but
I know it is, and it is a very much an anime when you look at it now. But it's like it was kind of its own thing, and by an extension, Digimon. But Dragon Ball Z was just like, oh, this is different.
Yeah, yeah. There wasn't one that I remember before Dragon Ball Z that I could point to and go, oh, this was the first anime that I saw. Because yeah, it probably was Pokemon, but Pokemon doesn't have as much of that, oh, this is anime kind of thing to it.
And I know we've talked about how Dragon Ball Z, like, had its own erasure dub. But I think because it was a martial arts anime that got big, it was also one of the only ones that was allowed to keep, like, Goku and Tien Shinhan and so it was easier to recognize his anime, because I know even Sailor Moon, I think I've said, was the first anime I remember watching, but Usagi was Serena. Yeah. And they changed everybody's name around.
Ash is Ash, and not, was it Satori or something?
Satoshi.
I'm sure there's some racism stuff in there, but yeah, because of the fact that it was martial arts, it's probably more of like, oh, we can leave this as Asian.
This is Japan doing China.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's Journey of the West. Well, the OG parts of it, I feel like once you get to Z, which in Japan, as we know, is not... I feel like saying that like Dragon Ball Z is just Dragon Ball in Japan is the same energy of Super Mario 2 as Doki Doki Panic.
Yeah, well, that's a little different because
that you're like, wow,
that's a completely different game.
Yeah, but it's that it's that level of factoid of when you first learn that fact when you're younger, you're like, wow, that's interesting, and now it's just like, well, yeah, duh.
Which it is, because we got Dragon Ball too.
We did. I watched it growing up. I never got all of it. I don't know if it was just Toonami or whatever the after school block was. Never played past a certain arc, because it was like I went on my own little Dragon Ball pilgrimage like a year ago, where I'm like, I've never really sat down and consumed all of Dragon Ball. And there was a certain point where I'm like, okay, this is familiar. And then all of a sudden I'm like, I've never seen any of this. It's like, how many times have I come back around to the first Tournament of Power? and seen, like, freaking Bacterion and Krillin Doesn't Have a Nose and fighting Jackie Chun and all that. And then after that, it's like, yeah, where did Tien come from? He's in Z, but I never met him in Dragon Ball. And then being able to go back and see that now was really eye-opening.
Yeah, it was. It's really strange how they felt the need to sort of split it apart like that. But I guess because, I mean, they Dragon sort of Ball did the same ends... thing with Naruto, didn't they?
Well, Dragon Ball ends the comedy part. And I think they were looking for an action cartoon for the Saturday morning thing. I think Dragon Ball Z actually started on Fox.
I think so, yeah.
I do wonder why they picked there, though, because I do feel like Dragon Ball, like, you can pick the, like, last tournament. Like, those, the fights between Goku and Tien are incredible. Like, I was, the way that I consumed it was that, like, I read everything and I watched the anime for the tournaments. And just those fights, what, three decades later, are incredible. But even by today's standards, they are like a tour de force of animation in a way that you don't see anymore that was like super compelling to me. So I wonder why they picked the spot they did for this is something new, this is Z. If there was a reason for
that. I don't
know
how they decided to purchase it, or if there was like they probably just decided to purchase at a particular season the license. I'm not sure. No, I was going to say, it was weird. Like, I don't know if our audience fully understands, because a lot of them skew younger, but, like, not only was Dragon Ball Z, like, the biggest thing ever in the anime world at the time, and, like, pop culturally, it started at the reunion party between the group on Turtle Island when Raditz comes down, and nobody knew what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
Like, that was episode one, and you hardly ever even got to see them in order for the first bit.
Oh, we talk about that a lot.
And it always confused me, because if you watch Dragon Ball at the end, like right before Dragon Ball Z starts, there's a time skip from Goku being a kid to like being older and coming back for another tournament and meeting back up with Chi-Chi and like all that stuff happening. So like, there's a part there where he's basically grown up already. Why did
that was what I was saying. Like, why don't you start at the last tournament of power of what quote-unquote Dragon Ball when he is what he is now and he meets Chi-Chi as an adult and all of that. Like, that seems like, I've never thought about them moving it up, but like, I guess to Ben said, it's like, maybe that was just, this was the season that was available for purchase or any number of other weird, probably racist things that dictated how people wanted to bring anime over to the West. Because like, I was watching that, I'm like, this would be incredible if you're just trying to look for the cream of the crop to bring over here. It just seems strange.
If you talk about it from a standpoint of like, oh, they wanted something more, you know, action and stuff like
but
that.
It
does start back then. Like, you could even go probably further back, because all the stuff with King Piccolo and everything, like, there wasn't a ton of comedy. Like, there's obviously still
comedy.
But
I mean, even Dragon Ball Z has comedy bits.
Yeah.
They're still there.
It does feel a little arbitrary.
It feels weird. I've never thought about that before.
But yeah, like,
what
I remember.
What a way to start. Sorry, you go, Ben.
No, I was gonna say, I remember even after it finally got off Fox and got on Cartoon Network and got out of the Ocean dub and into the Funimation redub, and at that point, it's finally starting to get solidified. Like, this is an anime. There is more of it out there. There was a series before this called Dragon Ball. Like, that's starting to pervade the pop culture thing. I remember they had aired the whole Saiyan saga and half of the Namek saga multiple times, just reruns, because they didn't have it all dubbed. They would just replay those over and over and over, and people were so into it. And then Toonami did one of the movies. It was the first movie.
Whoa.
I think it was the Garlic Jr. one. And that one was actually made between Dragon Ball and Z, so Goku's still on Nimbus and he still has his staff.
But people don't know what that is.
I had no idea what the staff was. I had no idea that it got longer. I didn't know anything about the Monkey King. Because
why would you over here? We don't really hear about.
Does the staff show up in the first episode, the first season of Z at all?
I don't think so.
Because he's still got Nimbus.
I think he still, because it brings Gohan on it.
But I don't think the staff is there.
At some point, they just stop using that too. It's forgotten.
Well, Nimbus is still around.
Yeah.
Nimbus still pops up occasionally, but yeah, the staff just disappeared.
What is it actually called?
Didn't he use it right from...
I don't know what it's called. They called it the power pole.
Yeah, it's power pole or extendo pole, but I know it has like a name because it's Chinese because it showed up the same word they used in the translation, the Shonen Jump localization that's in the app. Yeah, is used. There's a character who is essentially the Monkey King guy in Undead Unluck who has the extender pole and the Nimbus, but it's the original Chinese name where I'm like, I don't know what these sound like. I recognize these word shapes, but I have no idea how to say this out loud because I'm too used to like, oh, there's the Nimbus. There's, the power pole or whatever.
No, Kinto and I don't know
it's
what
like
the pole is.
Nien or Kien. I don't know what it is. I'd have to look at it, but no Nimbus.
It's so interesting though, these characters and things, they're so ingrained in
pop culture,
our childhoods at this point.
If another Western show was going to be referencing anime, nine times out of 10, they're referencing Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Sometimes, or Sailor Moon. Like those were the two anime genders, so to speak.
When
medically.
I got a bigger thing the fact that they could just play the Saiyan Saga and half of the Namek Saga over and over again for 2 years at least, that's all there was, I think speaks to how deprived of that kind of story the Western audience was. And
yeah,
we didn't have serialized storytelling really at all. Or if we did, it was
serialized storytelling. We didn't have cultivation.
Yeah, yeah.
So that, to me, Dragon Ball Z is like the most important anime. And I know in Japan, it's a very highly regarded anime, but I don't think anybody would be like, this is one of the founding pillars of anime. But in the West, I'm sure anime would have come eventually anyway, but Dragon Ball Z made the marketability case for companies to take this seriously.
I mean, it had been. There's stuff before our generation that's there in bits and pieces, but I feel like that, I mean, as much as we said Pokemon wasn't, that is still something coming over from Japan that's being dubbed, but that is a big 1-2 punch of the 90s.
Yeah.
But I think this was the first one where people were like, oh, they're into these training arcs. Oh, they're into these...
They're getting stronger. He gets Super Saiyan. Yeah. Well, I guess, but they don't know that if they're only in the first half of Namek. But the knowledge that other stuff was before and after that you couldn't just go and Google it. Or if you could, it would be hard to find or not really understandable. It's not like you can just go watch a YouTube video or, I don't know. Ben, you've talked about your past of getting the videotapes. I never had that. I was always just what was on television. But even still, it was just I have memories of getting home from school and watching... attempting to make my way through the Buu saga and hoping that I was consistently home enough to keep watching it to finish it before it looped back around. And I'm like, no, I've seen this. I need to see the stuff. Or catching the one that I missed and keeping up with all of that.
No, I remember parents watching this because I had to have my mom tape. I think it was the Cell Saga. I think I had to have my mom tape the Cell Saga while I was at football practice. And in those days, to tape something, it had to be on.
Yep.
And you had
so
to push
record. Up the television.
Yeah. And my mom hated it, had no idea what the hell was going on, didn't understand how this was entertaining to anyone. She's like, nothing's happening.
I know.
I was like,
I'm so excited for a thing to happen.
There's little details. And the other thing was there was this mystique to it that the knowledge was out there because the series had already been completed in Japan for years. People had read it. People had seen it. And you would hear tales of what happened. You'd get little bits of spoilers. And they were all confused. Because very rarely were you getting it firsthand from somebody who had been to Japan who had actually seen it. You were getting...
And clearly understood what it was. And that it was, if it was, I say real, but legit.
So we had Super Saiyan 4, Super Saiyan 5.
Yeah,
we had
it's so fan easy to make stuff up.
Yeah. And it was just such a weird time in anime that'll never happen again with the internet being as good as it is now and as cross-postable. Like, you can Google Translate a web page and get a gist, at least.
You can osmosis a lot. Oh, man. I want to take a small side tangent because we've talked about the whole, like, you land in the middle of it and you have to pick things up in the moment, and we don't do that anymore. I got a taste of that recently, and it was like, oh, this is, I love this again. That new X-Men series that dropped, I never watched the original. I just started the new ones, and it's like trying to figure out. I'm like, I have not worked this muscle in decades. This feels great. Of X-Men's just like
X-Men's a fun one to unravel. It. Yeah.
Of just like, I don't know. Like, I vaguely know about the X-Men characters, but I don't know what these X-Men characters have been through, and to try to figure out what's going on. And like, that was what watching like old anime stuff was at the time when we didn't have the internet, where it's just like, you're getting episodes as they come at you. Were you home for this one? Were you busy? Did you tape it? Did the tape work?
Did your jaw drop when Morph died? A character died in a cartoon and then he came back?
Yeah. He was a creep and now he's a sloppy bitch and I love him.
Oh, man.
No, but like, that's the thing. Like, Ben, to your point, I'm still just stuck on that. It's like that vague knowledge that there's stuff that, because there's new episode every day, like maybe they were showing them in a time slot you didn't know about, that all the other lore that you didn't know and you just, that your buddies are telling you about or something, or you're hearing. I remember the story from the dudes from Team Four Star talking about that, like, in America they're in like the Cell Saga or the Buu Saga, and like one of the PS1 Dragon Ball Z fighting game comes over and it's got like characters from like GT, and they're like, what the heck is this? Who's this? Why is there a tiny Goku in blue? Like, and you just don't know. Like, I learned a lot of, like, I osmosis a lot of Dragon Ball playing freaking Budokai Tenkaichi.
My first exposure to the Buu Saga was playing through it in an SNES translated ROM hack.
Oh my. Wow.
Yeah. And yeah, that was, it became like, the reason I bring that up is because it became like such a quest. There was like a culture of Dragon Ball Z that went beyond just watching it.
It's because
you had to do all these other little things to find it. And people started drawing and making their own Dragon Ball Z because we were just starved for like a new episode. And like, I won't say again that this is like the whole reason these things exist, but like my introduction to drawing in general was drawing Dragon Ball Z copy fan art, basically.
Yep.
My style was a terrible Toriyama knockoff for like 4 years. And then probably my introduction to Japanese at all was trying to figure out what the hell was going on in Dragon Ball Z. Because we could get occasionally, I think I mentioned getting the videotapes. We were lucky enough to get them in English, English subtitles.
I would love,
but
to
a lot of times we got
stuff.
We got Chinese subtitles.
Oh, that's less useful.
And so
I'd rather
you had
no
to
subtitles.
Just, yeah, you had to just watch them and be like, okay, I know what a Kamehameha is. I know who Goku is. I know who Vegeta is. I can parse some of these words. But then, of course, all the other special attacks that were not Kamehameha had been given their own English names. And so I had no idea what anybody was doing. You just had
special
to go by
beam
the animation.
Cannon.
Well, Kamehameha isn't Japanese, so.
Yeah. Still strange.
It's a pun, though. I mean, because Kame
is
turtle. Yeah.
Oh, der.
It's Kame. Feel
dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the turtle wave. But it also sounds like a Hawaiian king.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny because Dragon Ball isn't just like our, you know, thing in the United States. It's also pervasive through like
global
South America,
Central America loves Dragon Ball.
The like places like Philippines, you know, Southeast Asia. It's
when
reached...
Dragon Ball Super was coming out, and the Tournament of Power. The Mexican government was doing these public viewings of the episodes. They were so popular, like crowds of people showed up to watch. You can still Google it. There is, when Frieza's helping Goku knock out Jiren, a crowd of people is chanting, Frieza, Frieza. And it's in Mexico. And it got so big and so many people are watching it for free. The Japanese government, like, filed a formal diplomatic complaint.
This is a political struggle?
Yeah.
That's wild.
And they did it anyway. They just kept going anyway.
We're Mexico. What are you going to do to us, Japan?
No, see, they got the letter, and they're like, okay. I was
going to take the episode from it. They'll find a way to find it. They're good at that.
No, what the Mexican government does is they reply. They're like, this isn't official. The cartels are putting it on. There's nothing we can do.
The cartels go to Japan to take the episode.
I don't know if people were following the news right after they announced Toriyama's death, but the Mexican drug cartels literally called a ceasefire for 3 days to mourn his passing.
Who else is going to do that? Who else is going to cause that? No one! That's wild!
I don't think there's any other specifically, you know, Japanese manga or anime creator that has had the reach, the global reach that Akira Toriyama has.
It's Oda.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Literally the most sellingest manga on the planet Earth by a wide margin. Because you know what the other two are underneath it? Freaking Golgo 13 and Case Closed, which most of the rest of the world does not give a shit about.
Still, though, like, as popular as One Piece is...
The most popular thing on the planet?
Yeah, I feel like Dragon Ball is still sort of like that quintessential... Like, you ask anybody on the planet, what is... anime.
I don't know if it is anymore.
Kamehameha.
I think some of that's our generational thing.
I'm willing to admit I'm old because like I had the experience of like that was when I was in junior high, Dragon Ball was going. I was the right age for it. When I was at football practice or in the weight room, like you better believe I was imagining Goku on the spaceship in 100 times gravity. Like that's exactly, that's the only reason I exercise. To this day, I still think about that when I'm running and I want to stop.
And, you know, not to diminish Oda in any way, obviously, but, like, Dragon Ball Z got to us at a time where, Ben, like you mentioned, this stuff was difficult to get.
It was formative.
And yet we still got it. We still sought it out. It was so popular in Brazil, Mexico, like all these other places. Now, I mean, One Piece has been popular for a while, but like...
Sold more than Dragon Ball.
It's also becoming more and more popular in an age where it's very readily accessible.
Yeah. I'm not down-talking Dragon Ball Z
in
its importance, because it is essentially important, but it's at the time. I don't know how much like weebs coming up now know about it or go back to watch it or read it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I do think it's dated. I think it's dated to an extent. I'm okay with having passed the torch to One Piece. I think what's relevant to us is not necessarily going to be relevant to the next generation, but like...
Yeah, there's stuff before us that we don't know or give a shit about.
Yeah, and I think like... It's just... If you grew up in an age where there was a manga section in a bookstore, you just don't appreciate... what Dragon Ball Z was, because in a lot of ways it was like propping up everything else.
Yeah,
like Dragon Ball Z was the entry point to a lot of stuff. And yeah, if it hadn't been Dragon Ball Z, it probably would have been One Piece.
But that ball was fumbled. But also, One Piece came later than Dragon Ball.
It's later. Then that's
also
my,
true.
My point is
I'm
like
now, not in total.
It's not that One Piece is necessarily lesser. It's just. It wasn't as much of a struggle.
Just wait until we get a live-action Dragon Ball on Netflix. But good, which probably won't happen. We already did.
They can't do worse than the existing live-action Dragon Ball.
I mean, that was how people came into the live-action Avatar.
What do you mean existing live-action?
I don't know if this is true, either of you. I don't know if either Ben or Brad, you have this in notes, or Ben, you just know this. My buddy was telling me that the reason we got Dragon Ball Super was because that came out, and Toriyama said, this is so terrible, I need to fix this.
I think I just said that in the interview.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's like a, if he was joking, but he did.
I know
say that
could have been, yeah.
You know, though,
at the very least, like a bunch of Dragon Ball was, from what I am told, Dragon Ball was dormant for a while until that happened, and then it was so terrible, like the Dragon Ball Japan engine started back up.
It wouldn't surprise me though, because it seems like over and over again, Toriyama was driven by spite, because not only just the fact that Wonder Island flopped, and he decided that he was going to keep going just to prove everybody wrong. But also, he didn't want to keep making Dr. Slump. His like editors and the people at Shonen Jump were like, you have to keep making this.
It's a cash cow. Yeah, it's a big deal.
And so he, as quickly as possible, and it took 4 years, went on to something else, which turned into Dragon Ball. Like, he literally was like, I don't want to do this. I don't like it. Let me do something else.
There was a rumor about that with Dragon Ball, too. Like, the reason Goku dies at the end of every season was that Toriyama wanted to end it. I think that rumor wound up being proven false, but it was very convincing.
It's too tantalizing.
I mean, it fits.
He did keep wanting to be done, and they kept saying no. I mean, what? The man had money coming out of his ears, probably.
You know, he eventually did stop making Dragon Ball and handed it over to somebody else.
They made GT.
And they're still like, no, you need to tell us if this is okay or not.
I mean, we're just talking about Dragon Ball, let alone, I mean, I don't have a connection to it, but like, he's the character designer for Dragon Quest, which is now is like super iconic in the same way that we talked about with the new episodes of Super shaping the Mexican government. Like, the Japanese government literally has to go, anytime a Dragon Quest game comes out, it's like, okay, everybody's got the day off. Go play Dragon Quest.
Have we talked about it before that that RZA wrote in his book that the Saiyan saga symbolizes the black man's struggle in America?
Oh, I think
see,
I
this
remember.
Is where I am incredibly unequipped, but I am so curious because it's like, I mean, you already said it from just around the globe. Dragon Ball is such a like a cross-cultural thing. Like, it's really big in African-American communities. I have no idea why, and I'm dying to know, but as a white person, I can't.
Well, to be fair, Naruto is as well.
Yeah. Like, but that's it. Like, there's certain animes that are just like, that becomes the thing, and it's like, why this one?
Yeah.
I never know. I'm so curious. Because it's not like, oh, there's representation. It's like, no, there's not.
Yeah, there's not.
Not at all. There's somehow...
Especially Naruto.
Yeah.
I have a friend from rural Mississippi who is black, who grew up in an all-black neighborhood, went to an all-black school, and he and I, we wound up working together, but we bonded over Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
And he doesn't watch any other anime.
Yeah,
he might now.
Exactly.
I think I finally talked him into a few things. But for a while there, he was like, nah, it seems nerdy. He just wanted to watch
Dragon
Ball Z.
Is it the muscles? Is it the screaming? Like, is it the hair? I don't know.
I think it's the pro wrestling of it all. The big gimmicks, the costumes, the training arcs.
If you want to get into it, like, Dragon Ball is like the poster child of anime and manga is pro wrestling, because you have Krillin, who is the jobber who gets beat up to show that the big bad is a big deal. He is the friend of the main guy, and when he gets beat, like, he's no slouch, but when he gets beat, that's how you put somebody over. Or you get low level things like, you know, Yamcha. It's like, he is the jobber to everybody. He will always lose. Like, everybody fits roles within the wrestling organization, and, like, that is the poster child for a lot of shonen battlers of, hey, you use this person as your shower to say, hey, this person's this strong, at least, to put them over to make the fight, the big pay-per-view, when the main hero fights the main villain, that, you know, it's a big deal to build those stakes.
I know, it's been a while since I looked at RZA's book, but his point was that, like, the Saiyans... basically build Frieza's empire for him.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah.
With all the, yeah, and it was an interesting way to look at it that, you know, I never thought about. Everybody brings their own interpretation to it.
There's a lot to put on it.
And I know Toriyama was never thinking about that when he wrote it.
No. I mean, what? Frieza enslaved a lot of different races.
Yeah.
No, and I remember a few characters from Dragon Ball.
Well,
they didn't see those.
Let's give them a little credit, because at least black people exist in the world of Dragon Ball, whereas Naruto, there weren't any black people until
Killer Bee.
They
wrapped.
Yeah. What?
They love the Akatsuki robes, though.
Yeah, whatever that.
I don't know why.
And even then, those people are just...
People like, listening to this. Hi, if you're African American and you can inform me so I can be less uninformed. What is
I think
it?
They definitely...
Why do I keep seeing football players wearing the Akatsuki robes? It's really weird.
I think they definitely started trying because Dragon Ball Super, they have a lot more... Not just like coded black people, but just people of color in general existing in the world in a way that's not a horrible stereotype.
Yeah.
Just in the background, but in Dragon Ball, it was
Dragon Ball
General
a lot
Black
of...
was the black character.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
thing is, though, yeah. with the representation in Dragon Ball, obviously they were drawn in a sort of offensive way.
Yeah, I mean Commander Blue or General Blue, who is an effeminate gay man, who they constantly bash.
But they were actual characters who had, you know, thoughts and feelings, and they weren't just like one-dimensional characters.
They weren't an ungabunga.
So,
because there were some ungabungas in old manga, let me tell you.
You can definitely say like, oh, that's you shouldn't draw them like that. You look at like Mr. Popo and you go, what the hell?
Mr. Popo's not as bad as he's supposed to be based off of a Hindu deity.
I know.
He's not a black person.
But still,
no.
They are actual characters. It's not just like throwaway.
Mr. Popo's strongest character in the universe.
There's a
he
separate
jobs Goku
episode.
At the end of the part where his training arc. He just jobs him the whole time, which shows he's super powerful.
There's a separate episode on how that whole minstrel style came to be popular in Japan, and it's America's fault.
Yeah. Well, of course it's our fault.
I don't know. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about that.
Let's not talk about that. We're not equipped for that. I'm already asking questions that I'm not supposed to, so.
But to take it back, I really do think, you know, you can definitely make a case for Oda being potentially the
I
most.
I think now.
Yeah. But
then and to now, like to our generation and maybe the ones before and after.
And especially as far as like people growing up with it.
It's Toriyama.
And having it shape sort of, you know, their moral systems, their belief systems, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know that you can really point to someone else and say they've more of an impact than Toriyama.
If it wasn't for Toriyama, I'm not on this podcast. I never learned Japanese. I never draw. There's a ton of stuff. Because if I hadn't found that when I did, I think I would have liked Sailor Moon, but I probably wouldn't have sought out any other magical girl stuff. By the time I was that age, I was going different direction. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dragon Ball Z and that specific like time and way it came into my life is why I got into all this.
I keep coming back to it more than anything else. I bought the Blu-ray for Super Dragon Ball Super Hero, which is not a thing. I do not like buying physical media, but I just wanted to see it so bad. Like, I keep coming back to the well. And I don't think there's another major series and author I can talk about that's done, essentially.
I don't really relate to a lot of shonen anime these days. Like, I don't think I relate to a lot of shonen anime in general. Dragon Ball Z just... It hooked me for some reason, maybe because I was into kung fu movies, and it's kind of a love letter to kung fu movies.
It hit at the right time. It's formative.
Yeah, like One Piece, great as it is, it's not my thing.
It's the thing. It's like what's the alternate reality where we get One Piece in a complete form when they bring it over on time and it's in a proper form? What happens differently? It comes again. It comes later than Dragon Ball Z, but like that is a question: is what happens if we get that in its true form sooner?
That's prognostication that I don't think we're equipped to do
as mere mortals.
I think it has a huge influence on art, but I don't know if it has the same influence on pop culture if people aren't primed.
I don't think it hit at a time. I don't think One Piece hit in the West at a formative enough time, and it's too late to become formative. It is just popular and still meaningful, but like not like this is a germination point for how you think about things.
Right.
Freaking! I mean, what I think I've read before, like Steven Universe is so easy to overlay on top of like Dragon Ball structures and tropes, and oh, you're like part alien, and now people from your alien past are showing up on the planet, and you have to train and figure out your powers to fight them. Like, part of it, it's its own thing, but part of it is a send-up love letter of, I mean, a lot of old animes that were formative, but, like, That's Dragon Ball Z. That's Dragon Ball.
Yeah. I'm thinking, like, there's only a couple other, like, really big names. Miyazaki pops into my head of, like, people that most people have seen some of their work in some way or another. Dragon Ball is one of those ones where, like, people know what it is. It's not just like, oh, I recognize this. Oh, that was this person. That's an anime. Okay. It's more like, oh, no, that's Dragon Ball. I know what that is.
And Miyazaki's, like, you know, indie art house. I know he's not indie, but, like, he's an art house darling. Whereas, like, Dragon Ball Z is a bunch of 14-year-olds are, like, taping it while they're at football practice.
That's,
like,
rad.
That's the only thing I can say.
That's rad. Just,
yeah. It just, you live it more than you live.
Culture for the people.
So, I mean, it sucks. It feels like it's too early.
Because he was just firing back up. There was the Sandland?
Sandland, yeah.
Anime is starting. It got a video. It's getting a video game. Super was starting back up. Like, it seemed like.
Yeah, and I know his.
They were really rocking and bopping.
His active work on Dragon Ball was, like, not a whole lot. He was basically just producing.
That's a contentious topic. Because for Dragon Ball Super, it's now drawn, and it has always been drawn by Toyotaro.
Yeah.
Who is that?
That is a mononym of, like, Toriyama's, I guess, protege, I guess the inheritor of probably Dragon Ball art. Toriyama was still coming up with some initial designs, and it says written by Toriyama. A lot of people who, especially those who are unhappy with what the direction Dragon Ball Super has taken, question how much Toriyama's involvement has been. But he has a writing credit on all of Super. He apparently did write the script for Superhero.
Hmm.
He has a script writing credit for that. So,
how much that means, who knows, but yeah.
Yeah, he has a credit. Did he have a ghostwriter? Was it heavily punched up by somebody else? I don't know.
Did he just have the basic structure and people wrote the... Not to speak to right now, I would say.
I guess we'll have to see as the years go by, does the quality of Dragon Ball stuff radically change or does it sort of maintain the same? That'll probably tell us how involved he was in.
I mean, people still have eyes on it. Everybody's really excited that there's that new Budokai Tenkaichi game coming out. I mean, what? Dragon Ball was popular enough that there were American-made video games for it that were only made in the West. I would say, without thinking too hard, not counting Pokemon, because we don't, I would say Dragon Ball is the only anime that got a video game that I would call AAA in fighters. Because most anime games are very, like, not shovelware, but they're kind of mid.
Yeah, I can't think of any. But
I would call fighters, like, a game made by a major studio who already makes fighting games, making a really good-looking game that people are still playing now. And freaking, what, Xenoverse 2's been, like, out almost a decade, and they're still putting DLC out for it. People are still playing it. Like, it's huge. It refuses to leave the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
I think in terms of video games, it has One Piece beat.
Yep, One Piece does not. One Piece does not have a great video game.
Yeah.
Period.
I mean, even the One Piece games that are good, like
they're not.
Pirate
Wars is fun. Yeah. I like Pirate Wars, but there's, like, no, like, great. But that's not. It's fun because it's a Musou game and it's right. One Piece. It's not. It's not like, oh, this is a One Piece game.
There's also that other one, One Piece World or whatever it was.
World Seeker. There's Odyssey, which is that RPG that came out that people were kind of mixed on. Like, there's no great One Piece game. I think it's due one at some point.
But I don't think any of those come close to, like, the quality and especially quantity.
The coming... What is another anime game that got a re-release? Because the Budokai Tenkaichi games got re-released. Anime games don't come back. It's usually a copyright nightmare, but those came back.
But, you know, it's... Normally, you get these creators that they retire, right?
Yeah.
And
he did.
They might still put stuff out from time to time, but, like, for the most part, they're done. And you don't have these pillars that they're still an integral part of. And then all of a sudden they're gone. So it I think everyone's reaction to it, because lots and lots of people were very affected.
Because it was surprising, and especially to know that he was only in his 60s, yeah. was just like, oh gosh.
I think it makes sense that people feel that way.
He was just taken, because he was firing back up. They had all this stuff that was connected to stuff he had worked on. Yeah. He was out there.
There wasn't a disconnection period where you sort of go like, oh yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
It's like, no, there's still an active creator.
This is a name I still hear on the regular.
Yeah. So
he had not faded into dust yet.
Well, I hope everybody can come to peace with it, and
as much as can be.
Yeah, I just wanted to have this time to reminisce, I guess is a good way to put it. He will be and is missed.
We lost a real one. Yeah.
So, as I mentioned, April's my birthday month.
Yeah.
I'm turning 37.
37?
And, you know, with Toriyama's passing recently, I got to thinking about aging, and especially aging within the anime community.
Brad, where's this going?
So, I was just thinking, you know, it's interesting to be in our position where we are consuming and talking a lot about something that, for the most part, is created for children and teenagers. And, you know, we started doing this podcast. We were all old already, you know.
Yeah.
But as, you know, given the nature of this podcast and how we, like, talk about more, you know, intense and deeper kind of subjects than just the surface level of, like, oh, what's happening in this anime or manga, I think it's fitting to sort of discuss the nature of aging up in a, you know, being in that space, and how, you know, we've watched trends change, and how we change ourselves. And, you know, we've talked before about how, like, we don't watch as much anime as we used to. It doesn't connect as much. You know, like, is that because we're getting older, or is it because of the anime that's coming out? There's a lot of different facets to it. And on the one hand, I think it's, you know, an interesting thing to talk about. On the other hand, there's, like, the psychological side of it, like, for myself to just sit and think about, you know, I guess to an extent my own mortality, but also like who I am as a creator in an anime and manga space, in this community. So it's just, I've been brooding a little bit.
Okay, you've been having a time, my friend. I don't know.
Once I crossed 35, I had the same thing, because, like, now it's like 70's half your life, you know?
Yeah.
If you make it to 70, which a lot of people don't go much further, it's half over.
What a grim episode, jeez.
Yeah.
Yes,
we're
it
all
is.
All dying.
I would say, in a slightly nicer reading, and admittedly I'm the youngest of the three of us, I'm only 30 at the time of recording.
Hey, our podcast is about to turn 30.
Yeah. but I would say, like, I watch less anime, but there is more good anime than there has ever been.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we consistently get a minimum of one banger every season now, which was not true before.
Except maybe this season.
Spring?
Yeah.
Well, I thought we were getting Don, so, you know, grain of salt on that. So we are getting more bangers. We are drowning in, like, A-plus golden material. And I think some of it is just, as you get older, you figure out what you like more.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that is just, I'm bad at sitting down and watching media by myself. I much rather, I've learned that I like to read, and now that I have a digital access to it, I can just read and sit and read, and that occupies my brain more than sitting down and watching media, no matter how much I like it.
It makes me wonder, though, because, like, what was it before that allowed me to sit and concentrate on 6 or 7 episodes of an anime in a row and not do anything else?
I mean, you had more free time, maybe? You were just better at that? Your brain's changed? The world changes around us, and that causes us to... I don't know. I've found, at least so far from the thing, it's like, I feel like I'm in the minority of somebody who reads manga over watching anime. As much as, like, the stuff we're watching, I love. It's not like I dislike anime. It's just I can consume and understand so much more manga, and that's so much more my little niche that I'm cozy in, you know, and that's, I guess, what always has brought me in, is my little cozy niche, because it's like, well, everybody's watching anime, but, like, who's keeping up with Jump? Who's that guy? Who's that person?
Right. And I have the same thing where it's like the manga, I can sit there and read chapter upon chapter upon chapter of manga and not even think about the time that's going past. But like if I sit down and watch one episode of anime, I'm like, I should be eating dinner right now. Yeah. Or like it's so much harder to not necessarily focus on, because a lot of times once I'm actually watching it, it's not a big deal. But like the hurdle of going, okay, I'm going to commit the next 23 minutes.
Because it's hard to do that. We ping pong around. I mean, maybe that's me. I'm kind of the maximum meter for ping ponging around things.
I'm so much less ADD now than I used to be.
I don't know. Maybe you don't like anime as much. Maybe it just doesn't come at you. Because you can shove manga in your brain quicker than you can watch anime. Anime comes at you at the speed it comes at.
Yeah.
And manga, you can boo.
I don't know. I think I've always been a manga reader. I don't think I was ever as big into anime as maybe you guys were. I don't think I ever watched like 6-7 episodes at a time.
I never did that.
If I did, I was not. It was 100% because I didn't have anything else going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I didn't really have any kind of manga connection until, you know, just a couple of years ago. But like, I remember a time when I was in my, you know, early 20s, when I was watching One Piece, and I would watch, there were times I'd watch like 10 episodes in a row.
Because you have better things you can do with your time than shove 10 episodes of an anime in your head all at once. You also have a bunch of other responsibilities that also are breaking up that time.
I do think at some point the novelty wears off too.
Bingo.
Like, I'm trying to think back, like, there's anime I still watch. I still go out of my way to watch. Like, I watched all of Frieren. I watched Sign of Affection. But those were two anime that were, like, very different than anything I'd ever seen, and I really looked forward to them. As far as, like, watching One Piece goes, One Piece looks a lot, to me, like every other shonen anime I've ever seen. And my brother-in-law is really into it, and he comes to my house and he watches it. I don't know why, but he has his own.
Get your own Crunchyroll account.
I think I have a better TV or something.
There you go.
But, I watch it and I'm like, it's good. Like, and I don't mean to hate on One Piece fans. If that was the first shonen anime I'd ever seen, I'd be like, yeah, no, this is incredible. The art's really good. The animation's really good.
What would the world be like if it was that came in its true form sooner?
But my point is, whatever comes after One Piece, I think the people who are super fans of One Piece are going to have the same experience I'm having, where it's like, you can really only get, like, thrown into that experience once, and then once it's over, it's over. It's like, why can't Marvel build another successful cinematic universe wave? We
kind of did the big one.
We rode that wave, and now we need a new wave.
You know, I've had an interesting thought here. There's sort of two kinds of anime that I watch, and I think there's like a different bar for each of them, and I think that's sort of informing how I'm consuming this. Because on the one hand, there's anime that are like, they're just so good, like Spy Family, Freer In.
Stuff we're watching together.
Those kind of things where I'm like, I want to watch this with people, specifically Kermit most of the time. Then there's other ones where it's like, oh, I really am into this. This is a thing that I want to watch, but like nobody else wants to watch this, like Tsukumichi or Level 99 Villainous.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I really like this. I'm only watching those two, like on my own this past season. And I think it's, they each have a bar that they have to get to. And while there's other series that I'm like interested in, they don't reach that bar. So I can't cross that hurdle into like, oh, I'm going to actually commit the time to watch
this. They have to cross a level of novelty that beats it, because more than any other kind of television, because we're watching anime subbed, you have to watch the screen all the time to read the dialogue.
Right.
It's what makes anime, like, that's why it's like, I don't consume any anime outside of that, because I don't have enough focus to sit. I can't do something else. I can't be preparing something. I've been doing puzzles recently while I watch stuff.
But manga is the same
thing. No, it isn't, because you can shove manga at your head as fast and as much as you can. I've said this. I will say this multiple times. I will say it again. Anime comes at you at the speed it comes at you. Manga is as fast as your guys can go, turn the page, turn the page. Like, because you can jam it in your head, because you get to control the speed, you get to drive the bus. It remains novel.
I'll put
it
this way. For words about books, I have read, I really don't even know how many Dune books. Thousands and thousands of pages of Dune. And I will probably continue to do that for some time now. When I had to watch the new Dune movie, great movie, I just dreaded the entire experience of sitting in a theater for 3 hours to watch that movie, because like, I just do not like sitting there. I can sit down and read a book. It feels like I'm doing something with my brain. Versus passive watching. Even though I'm watching analytically and critically and I'm taking in a lot of stuff, the idea, I think my attention span for television and movies has just gone down in some way too.
Yeah.
Because I don't, even the subtitle thing aside, like I do watch now like children's anime, like for second graders. For listening practice for Japanese.
Yeah.
If they ever make a Ruri Dragon anime, I'll be there.
Cause oh.
I read that one as part of a book club.
Ben, we watched this anime. It's one of those 3-minute animes. Do you remember what it was called? The Doctor Medical one?
Oh, you pointed out. I don't remember. You told me about it, and I think we watched one. I'm like, we're not doing it anymore.
Oh, my God. So it's basically just like, it's one of those short ones that they put in between others. Anime, but it's like medical knowledge. It's sort of like PSAs,
but it's also like chaotic horny, isn't it?
Yeah, it was so it was incredible. And I just thought, oh, Ben should watch that because he might like, you could probably learn a bunch of words and stuff.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Ben still needs to watch all of RoboCo.
As far as I know, the Japanese have no word for legs, and that has always bothered me.
Is that why she's all knees? Wait, what do you mean they don't have a word for legs? What do they call their legs?
I think ashi, which is the word for foot.
This is why localization is difficult.
Okay, I found it. It's called comical psychosomatic medicine.
That sounds like a System of a Down song.
But yeah, they're, what, 5-minute episodes. Okay, so.
Their knees is he's.
But there's, how many are here?
Listen for
there's,
that next time I watch a RoboCop.
There's 20 of them. Knees. The one we picked was, what kind of disorder is depression?
Oh, yeah, we watched the one with depression.
And they're all like that.
But
like,
I think we're curious because it was novel, because it was something new and weird and different. I think that's one of the reasons that I was interested when freaking Cells at Work came out, and then I got bored of it, admittedly. But, like,
oh my God,
we have consumed so much that a lot of things are very, like, rote, and I've done it, and I've been there. That's why it's like, I can't, like, as good as Black Clover is... It's like, I've seen it. I've done this. I don't have the attention span to do it again.
Hold on. I think I need. So the first episode is called How Do You Remedy an ED? I'm pretty sure that means eating disorder.
Oh. That's why localization is hard.
It's a tall order.
The second episode, though, it's called "At What Point Is a Lolita Complex a Sickness?"
What the? Why is that episode two?
I don't know.
Freaking spit it on my mic guard. What the heck?
Oh my
God. Why is that two? Psychosomatic.
From the beginning, I'm going to take a hot stance.
I was
going
to say,
that.
I think that might.
I guess we have to watch more and report.
I guess
that.
We're going to have to watch that. Oh my God.
Okay, back
anyway.
On track. I think it. I mean, I'm not like as much as I go. Oh, we're elder statesman weebs now. That there's the new generation that's coming up that didn't grow up with the stuff. Like our columns are not what hold up the world anymore as much.
Yeah.
Even if they hold up our generation. But like I've always been somebody who was out of touch, so I just become more out of touch. It's not new to me. I was never with it. They couldn't change what it was because I never was it. I just had an awareness of. I guess it's the difference. It's just, I had an awareness what it was, and now I just. It's fractured and I have no idea, but I guess nobody does because it's fractured now and it will be fractured because we get everything. It's different.
I think my sort of journey with this is, I mean, and this is something we talked about in earlier episodes where it's like, I didn't get into manga until recently. I wasn't really into the communities or anything. There were some anime that I was into when I was younger, but I, you know, it wasn't like, oh, I gotta get, you know, and find all this stuff. And, you know, I wasn't wearing anime merchandise and like all that kind of thing. So I'm
think you're better than me.
I said I wasn't.
I know.
Do you still not have any anime wear?
I don't think I do.
Okay.
I'm wearing a Godzilla 1954 t-shirt right
technically
now.
All I have is my Mob Psycho 100 yeah. Kermit shitpost shirt. That's the closest thing I have to an anime shirt.
But, you know, it's like I got into it sort of already as an old guy.
Yeah.
And so I haven't.
You don't have as much formativeness to then become older from.
I don't know that I've felt the aging out in the same way, like specifically Ben has spoken about before. I already saw what I was too old for when I was getting into it. I guess.
Yeah, you were already too old. You're old level. So yeah, you couldn't have gotten to something early.
Yeah. It's like I have a...
I was there 3,000 years ago.
Yep. When... The formation of the stars. When... I don't know. I feel like it's just the things you learn as you get older, which is to like what you like and give less of a shit about other people about it. And that's what I've learned, where it was the realization of like, oh... I don't want to talk to you people for the most part. I'm going to just live in my little hole and podcast from my ivory old person tower.
And I think that's the thing is like, I came into it with that attitude. Like I came into it with, I don't care what people around me
think.
Yeah,
you already got to have that. You never had that moment where it was like, here's what everybody at school is talking about or your friend group. Like you're now old enough and have a specifically chosen friend group that talks about those things for the most part.
So for me, the main thing that's making me go, oh my God, I'm old, is when I'm like on the Discord and the people are like, oh yeah, I'm turning 17.
Yeah, I'm in college. I'm like, ugh!
And I'm like, oh my God, what is this?
So one person on like the Floutcast, it's like maybe not even 20 and hearing them talk about things is just the most like, what are you doing here? A decrepit husks. Why are you here? Use your power responsibly.
And I would, it would make me maybe feel like I shouldn't be in these spaces. But then, you know, there's these other creators who, like the Shonen Flop guys, you look at DBZ Abridged guys, those kind of things. And they're also older. Now, Shonen Flop guys aren't as old as us, but still, like, you know, into the 30s and stuff.
No,
and so,
I bet when you were growing up on the internet, you paid attention to people who were notably older than you, unless you didn't. That was my experience. So there was that people older than me, and then they went, oh, our stuff skews low, and now when I'm contemporaries, the skewing low is to be me, and now it's the generation below me, or two of them now, where it's just like you will be drawn to that. And I'm sure, as we already have seen in our own fan poll, that there's people notably generationally younger than us listening to the podcast and learning things.
And there is a part of me that goes like, why are you listening to us old guys? Like, what are we saying that is resonating with you?
Because it's not what the zeitgeist is. It's not, it's different. It's some people like conducting knowledge. I listen to some freaking people who are a decade older than me for hours and hours and hours talk about pop culture and all this stuff because I wanted to learn about it so I had a knowledge base of it. I was curious about it. It was something different than what I was hearing from my peers.
Hmm.
And it made me felt equipped to talk to that generation a little bit too. And now we are the thing that we are that to other people in the way that other people were that to us.
It's a weird feeling though. Especially as someone who's like, there's not a whole lot of research that I do. A lot of times when we have a topic we're going to talk about, I might go skim some Wikipedia pages or something like that. But like, I'm not compiling research and notes for the most part. And so I'm just doing a lot of conversation off of what's already in my head, what comes out.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about like, oh yeah, there's these people who are listening to us and going, you know, they're getting this information from us and these discussions and everything. And it's like, why are you listening to me? This is just,
you're doing a real terrible job of selling the Patreon.
Yeah. Well, people need to join the Patreon so Ben can quit his job.
Oh, have you thought about subscribing to the $26,000 tier?
I don't know.
I think, I like that you are the one that's ruminating on it the most, and you're the one that is least affected because you got to this later in life.
Yeah.
I just think that's maybe because you didn't get to feel it, so you feel left out about not feeling it.
But I'm also the oldest.
You are.
I'm probably going to die first.
Yeah, I'm being honest. Not even age-wise, just in general.
Ben's actually trying to take care of himself. So.
Yeah, I try. I mean, I don't try very hard, but...
I don't try at all.
I try. I'm the youngest, and I take care of myself the best of the trio, so I will live the longest. Unless you can become a robot, you can become an android.
Well, that's the plan.
Just throw back to Toriyama.
I already told my son, like, when I get old and decrepit, put my brain in the
freeze
computer.
Me.
I don't trust
you
that.
You have to freeze me, son. And devote your life to finding a cure for freezing me.
After listening to that one Northern Boys song, I just want to get filled with the nanotech so I can dance forever.
My nanotech knees.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have given me those nanotech knees.
I kill motherfuckers with my nanotech thighs.
Oh, no. I want to think the community's getting better. I want to think, like, the kids these days are, like, less degenerate and immoral.
No.
Well, if anything, that's what I hope, like, people will take away from what we say most of all. Is like,
people who listen to our podcast are cool and smart.
Well, yeah.
When I was in high school, like, everybody who was into anime was on 4chan.
And that was admittedly different 4chan, just for historical sake.
It was different
sake.
4chan, but it wasn't a wildly different
no,
4chan.
But
it was slightly
entirely
less
Nazis.
It wasn't step one. If you say you're on there, I instantly go into, oh, yeah, maybe I shouldn't be talking to you.
But
it wasn't,
I don't know,
step
heard,
one red flag.
I've heard things these days that are still going on, like the old localization is woke. Or something. All these woke translators are coming for your anime girls.
Good. Fuck them.
No, that's what they want to do.
I don't know. I hope it's getting better because it seems like more connected. There's more. I don't know. There's more cross pollination between anime.
I think there are more better parts. I think there is. I think all of the things are getting stronger, both the good parts and the degeneracy. I think everything is in its test tubes, growing in power, in good and bad.
Do you think anime and manga has grown up?
No.
No.
A little.
I think the people who consumed it in America did, but I don't think it as a medium is any older than. Has reached some new zenith from when we were kids.
I think anime, the biggest trend I have seen in the anime itself, not the anime community, is that anime is more aware of the world outside of Japan. And I think the result of that is that they're a little bit more sensitive to other cultures and other people, and they're a little bit, I think the voices from within Japan that were always speaking out against the things like the lolicon and all that stuff, I think they're being heard a little bit more now. Not, in my opinion, enough. Because I think that, I'll say this, one of my biggest journeys as somebody who watches anime was going from being a person who wanted to live and work in Japan to being a person who wanted to visit Japan.
No, thank you. Don't want to live there.
No, like my, when I was in junior high, I legit was jealous of everything I read in anime
that's
and manga.
Big teenage like, weeb energy.
No, I did. I wished I had been going to school in Japan. Everything they did looked so awesome. Like,
did you hear the recent news that admittedly I'm waiting for an update if the particular translation of the information was bad, that there was a Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournament in Japan that banned foreigners, even ones living in Japan?
So what I heard about that,
I don't know if that ever got a clarification, but it was just like
what I heard was they banned non-Japanese citizens because the tournament was specifically to see who represents Japan at internationals.
So did they clarify that if you were a citizen of Japan? Because it was specifically the original news as it got to me was specific. We're getting distracted, but
was like a race-based thing. But
yes,
I think it was open to all Japanese citizens.
Okay,
that
is an update.
That being said,
I didn't
it's
get the citizens
ridiculously
part.
Hard to get Japanese citizenship.
Correct.
It sounds realistic because of what we know about discrimination that exists in Japan, both racially and otherwise.
The Golden Wind is no longer keeping foreigners out of the country. If anything, it is bringing into the country JoJo Part 5.
No, but I will say, even on Japanese TV, if you ever watch live-action Japanese TV, there's more people on there who are not, for lack of a better word, full Japanese. I've seen plenty of...
They're not having kids, so there's less of those all the time, and they gotta fill in the space with somebody, and hey, there you go.
But that's the thing, like,
but
Japanese
also, they don't
TV...
have enough things for people to want to work there, because they're not very kind to them, so it's just sort of like, well, have fun with that.
I would never say Japanese TV is diverse by anything like an American standard, but it's more diverse than it's ever been.
We have two types of bread now, white and wheat.
Yeah.
Well,
pumpernickel, what is that? Get that out of there.
Just as the Japanese population is aging.
Yes, so are you.
So am I. So. These are the kind of things that I think about, and figured we could talk about it.
For my birthday, we're going to celebrate the new summertime racial drinking holiday that is based around Japanese sake and when Commodore Perry opened Japan.
Stop having it be being closed.
Stop having it being closed. I need to racially drink because of you for a holiday.
I will end this by saying I appreciate all of the young people who listen to us old people.
Thank you, young people.
Yes. I don't understand you, or the way you dress, or what you like, or your music, but I like your download.
Buran no sponsor de okori shimasu.
Well, no long ad today. I'm not going to get into it. Just generally speaking, because of the heavier subject matter. But I will say you can check out the Dragon Ball section at SavoyMart.com. They have a very specific little thing there. They got some keychains and stuff. You can go check that out. You click the link in the description or use code APR15 at checkout to get 15% off your first purchase. Now, that said, I do have mint chocolate chip Kit Kat.
Oh. Fancy.
I love the getting the.
It's Baskin Robbins.
Baskin Robbins. Oh, yep. There's the 31 flavors. I don't know if we ate any of these before. I think we saved
them. I did already have one. Oh. They're really good. It tastes like a Thin Mint. Or Grasshopper, if you don't have Girl Scout cookies.
Mm. It tastes like I'm eating ice cream, but it's not cold or milk.
Yeah, a little bit.
Unless you know Baskin Robbins, so... Chala, head chala. It's time for manga book club today. Come on, read. It's Spocking! That was way too hard.
Anyway.
That was way too much of a process.
I wonder what we're going to talk about.
I wonder.
It's Dragon Ball, the manga.
The OG.
The OG. We covered the first chapter of Dragon Ball. Well, I covered with Trucks On.
Yes.
The first episode of Dragon Ball on Shonen Jumping the Gun a little while back. Before, sadly, Toriyama passed, we did we didn't know that was gonna happen.
No.
And you know, I thought that first chapter was pretty good. It was interesting, and I'm probably gonna read it. I haven't started reading it yet. But it really holds up considering how old it is.
Like I said, I went on my pilgrimage and read it properly from start to finish last year. It is an incredibly readable manga. You read a chapter and you're like, I'll just read another one. I'll just like some manga is just like, okay, I'm tired, I need to stop. And Dragon Ball was just like, I'll do another. Like they're very, it's like little candies. You just pop them in your mouth, and not every manga is just so easily readable like that.
Yeah.
So, I will say, as is still readable as it is, some of the stuff in it, not age the greatest.
Well, yeah, no. there's stuff that's coming out today that is
but
shouldn't
it's
be
worse.
I don't know
if it's worse, but it's not needed. The first couple of bits, a lot of stuff with Bulma, kind of iffy. It gets better as it goes on.
I guess...
a little bit of that. Like I need to get through this because, like, genuinely, there's some like real good. Funny, like I said, compelling, like I said, just so readable.
There's
so
not
bingeable.
Stuff in Shonen Jump today that is like that.
No.
But no. There are definitely manga that are coming out today that are way worse.
Not in Jump, though.
Right.
Not in Jump.
So
nothing as bad as Turtle Hermit.
Yeah.
Early
if we,
Turtle Hermit.
If we set that as the bar, then yes, it's safe to say that that didn't age very well.
Bits of it have aged poorly, but I think if you can have enough of that knowledge of going, I need to just bulldoze through this, there is some genuinely really good stuff still in there. Mm. That, like I said, is just real, like, as a manga, is just really compelling and fun of a read.
I'm willing to let Roshi go to jail.
Yeah, Roshi can
like
go to jail.
Roshi can go to jail, I still keep the rest of the series.
Yeah, but they wouldn't be able to keep him in there.
There's a part where they have to escape from a prison. And Goku just kamehameha's the wall.
Yeah, he could literally just
punch
through.
There's a couple of places where they have to escape from a prison. They get captured constantly.
Now, if they had some kind of like sea stone thing, like in One Piece.
Oh, that like stopped your ki.
Yeah, then maybe they could.
I mean, Goku was still really strong. He just punched stuff.
Or maybe Roshi does the Uncle Iroh thing where he just like hangs out until it's time to break out.
Oh, he just knows.
Yeah.
He knows when the eclipse is.
Young Roshi adventures. That will never, ever happen.
There was that. Was it canon where Goku went back in time and met Master Roshi when he was younger?
No.
What? No?
That was non-canon.
I don't even know what that is. Are you talking about when he goes and meets his grandpa?
No.
Okay.
The only young Roshi flashback I remember is when... Roshi. They're learning the, what's it called? The demon wave. The thing he uses to trap Piccolo in a rice cooker.
Mafobu?
Demon containment field.
Mafobu.
Mafobu in the rice cooker. Yeah, learning about the Mafabu ruled. I love that. Was like that is a quintessentially Dragon Ball bit. That it's Mafabu? Like, oh, we need to contain the demon, and it's in a rice cooker is just such a fun little bit. All the tournaments, learning about Tien Shinhan, his arc is great. Like, it was cool having seen Dragon Ball Z, and especially admittedly through the lens of Abridged, more recently as an adult, like, seeing context for all these characters, and like now going back to that and like having more context, and I'm like, oh, this is Mr. Popo's deal, and this is Yajirobe's deal, and like all those, and like when Krillin's a little shit.
No, I found it. Episode 129 of Dragon Ball, The Time Room.
I don't think that was the
seventh episode of the Piccolo Junior saga.
I don't remember that. That must have been anime.
I don't think that happens in the manga.
Probably not.
Because like I don't said, think I... you see a lot of his training with Popo.
Goku is fighting with Mr. Popo. Goku is fighting with Mr. Popo. Goku loses once again. Mr. Popo sends Goku back in time.
Yeah, no, that
to
does
train
not happen.
More
that
using
super
the time
does not
room.
Happen. That is super filler.
Goku battles Master Roshi.
That's rad, but that's some
No. Goku battles Roshi's master.
Oh, whoa! Yeah, no, this super, super not manga canon.
He doesn't
that.
Even take a standing position.
That sounds like a fun bit that Toriyama could have written, but no.
No, I remember the anime has a whole bunch of the Popo training stuff that is not in the manga.
Yeah, the manga is just like Popo training and time skip. But
well,
like
I
said, I don't know how the tournaments are written because I watched them, but like all the other stuff, like I said, flows along like wine is funny, is compelling, the action's fun and tight. Like things are it is that old school manga where just things are popping off and then every so often he can thread it back or it's like, okay, now we're doing a bigger thing. It's like rereading that while I was reading Sakamoto Days, they felt like kin decades apart.
Yeah. If you've only ever watched the anime, the pacing of the manga is so good.
I've never read Z, because when I was reading Dragon Ball, I got to the cutoff point, and I was just like, I don't like, every time it's the bigger space opera stuff, I don't like it. But
Z, I like Z quite a bit, and I think Z is like...
But maybe I need to read it. Maybe that was just for watching, too. I don't remember how I was feeling. I remember being not liking, I liked the kung fu stuff, and as they got more powers, I was less interested.
From an art perspective, the sharp... clean lines that Toriyama's sort of known for are like peak in Z.
Maybe I gotta read Z then.
I think that like if you read like Toriyama art, yeah, you gotta read Z.
I do. I love his machines. I feel like that's such a classic thing to talk about with him is like the way he draws what, the motorcycle in the first thing, how he draws firearms,
so
cars.
Like I said, we talked about this in the episode. You should go back and listen to that. But I was really surprised with like the backgrounds and stuff and like the detail that got put into the world itself. Because the characters are
queen.
The characters are sort of those. It's plump and round and everything. That early Dragon Ball style,
cherubic.
Which sort of went away when we got to Z. People
well,
were
goes away later in Dragon
more
Ball.
Angular and everything, but yeah, that's true. Probably because those are connected. But that early style, I always remember. I was even looking at the pictures of Wonder Island and stuff, and looking and going, oh, that's definitely the Toriyama, you know, bubbly kind of style.
Yeah, you can see a style already in Slump. That's why Arale can just cross over, and it's just like, oh, besides you being a weird robot child, you just fit.
Yeah.
Like,
but
your gag character, I should say more accurately.
But the details that got put into the backgrounds, like, they're driving around on that motorcycle, and like you said, the motorcycle is really detailed, but, like, just the forests and stuff that they're driving around through was, like, hyper-detailed, and it's a very stark contrast looking at the simple character designs and then behind them is something so detailed. And it almost, I think it actually works really well because you never lose the characters because they stand out against that.
They're cute. they have a good design. Like, just like that's why Toriyama gets to have freaking Dragon Quest, and that's being such a big deal. Like, just fun, cute, simple, but solid designs amidst like craftsmanly made.
Yeah.
So, Brad, you've never read any outside of Chapter One. You didn't read any of Dragon Ball, comma, also Z. And Ben, have you read all of it?
I've read all of it, and most of Super. Super.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all of Super that's out. Yeah.
Yeah. I have half read all of Dragon Ball that I didn't watch, which again turned into Powers because I wanted to see it because they were talked up so much and they live up. I would say also the old. It's admittedly some of that is fueled by nostalgia because I watched the dub. I miss those voices. But would recommend, like I said, those tournament arcs, the later tournament arcs. If you never got to see those growing up, if you were like in my situation and like we never got out of the Red Ribbon arc, like. Oh my gosh, all the stuff with Tan Shinhan rocks. Like he is as cool as you think he was when you met him in Z and went, what is his deal?
Well, they're setting him up in Dragon Ball to be the inheritor of the Turtle School. Like, he's like Roshi says that Tien's going to be the one who has to keep these guys in line when he's gone or something. And
yeah, he's training. Like, he is constantly putting in work.
Well, Goku and Krillin are kids. Tien is significantly older than them. Yeah. I think that was why Roshi kind of singled him out.
I always read him as like a teenager, at least. I don't know. Age is always hard in this stuff, but...
Yeah, I think Goku and Krillin are supposed to be like... Goku's, what, 12 when it starts?
They're little squirts.
Nah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Maybe I should do a read-through of Dragon Ball and, you know... do a little mini episode for each chapter. I can use my NPR voice for that.
Oh gosh, no, nobody. No,
that'd be weird. That'd be a weird way to go through Dragon Ball.
I do think you should read Dragon Ball. I think it is very readable. It's a sit down and you're like, oh my gosh, should I just read like 10 chapters? Like it feels. Again, it's that thing of like you have to keep readers week to week, and
yeah,
there's a reason Dragon Ball was like a big Shonen Jump hit.
I'm definitely going to read it. Like I said, I mean, I wanted to do this as a segment because I think even just from the short experience I had with it, but specifically because of the reach of the anime, I think it's worth reading. Like, it's foundational.
It's foundational. It's still really good. It pays back into anything you remember from Z to give more context that you did not have.
Hmm.
You know, you can osmosis as much as you want, but when you get to see it, quote unquote, firsthand, it does. It's like I said, it's like I always loved Tien and I didn't know why. And now getting his backstory properly, it was like, oh, this is cool. Or all of, like Piccolo's stuff. Like I'm closer to these characters I was already close to. And that's fun to have.
Yeah.
And also you get to meet silly characters like Devil Man.
And I think there's probably, as opposed to the more Z fighting stuff, there's a lot more of that. Adventure exploration stuff.
Yeah,
it's creative in the way One Piece is at the beginning. It goes in a different direction, but like that whole like world building, there's just all this random stuff in the background, and
yeah, and it's a lot more martial arts based than like we're flying around and shooting beams, and it gets that a little bit more like towards the end. It's definitely you're like you can see where it's going, but it is a lot more like I'm gonna duck this, I'm gonna punch that, and the. I mean, again, I don't know what the fight choreo in the manga specifically is, but, like, you can feel that, like, kung fu adventure, and that's fun, because, like, we don't really get that.
So, it's never really clear when they learn how to fly. It's never really clear when it goes from that, like, stilted air walk to the Superman flying that they do.
Straight up flight. Because, I mean, he's got the Nimbus.
There's a point in... late Z, I think it's in the Buu saga, where Gohan is training with Goten, and Goten has shown that he can turn into a Super Saiyan,
and then it's like, come on,
and then Gohan's like, all right, well let's do some training, come up here, and he flies up, and Goten's like, what, come back down here, and Gohan's like, wait, you can't fly, you can already turn a Super Saiyan but you can't fly.
New generation.
Roshi just refuses to learn how to fly, canonically. He just will not. He thinks it's stupid. So Krillin carries him everywhere.
I don't think I knew that, but that's great.
Oh, no, there's also...
Couldn't the turtle fly?
No, the turtle spun really quick. Yeah. That's how he traveled across the
baby,
water.
Yeah, Baby Gamera, the copyrighted character. He's not...
Oh, my gosh, really?
Yeah. That's what it was called. It was like one thing.
I don't remember what his dub name was.
Oh, and then there
was... Or was that a different character than the turtle that lives on the island?
That's a different character. He had a turtle that spins that he flew across the ocean with.
Yeah, different turtle.
No, the canonical foot Kamehameha.
Yes.
That was something that I as a child watching Z, I was always like, what is it? Like, did the hand motions matter, or is it about like focusing the energy?
Do you have to
like,
say it?
Yeah. And then in Dragon Ball, he just does it with his feet.
But it was cool though. It was like
Oh, it was awesome. I'm not complaining.
In the context, yeah.
Show foot. Well,
right, because... Because King Piccolo was like up in the air, right? And he's like, how do I get to him?
He has to not... I think he's trying to not ring out. And he shoots a Kamehameha through his foot. Like, again, it's that old school style of manga thing where it's just like, I'm just bullshitting in the moment. I'm just fucking playing jazz and doing improv.
Yep.
And like the weird, funky stuff that can come out of that.
And like, Yamcha still never wins. He still never wins a tournament.
He was actually dangerous at the beginning there.
He wasn't, though.
Not really.
You gotta read it. Yeah. You have to read. You have to read and know that Yamcha was never, ever a threat, ever.
But the Wolf Fang Fist.
Goku, you've seen it because you read the first chapter. Goku gets shot with a handgun, point blank.
Not dangerous to Goku.
Okay, well then it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true.
He's our protagonist.
I'd say he's dangerous to Bulma,
but we see how
either.
That plays out.
He beat other people in the Tournament of Power.
Yeah, he had to get to where he got to. He trained them that other time.
I don't think he ever beat anybody important, though.
No. Hey, he's canonically the best baseball player in the world.
Is he? Yeah, I guess if Krillin's not playing.
Only because Goku doesn't know the rules.
I don't think Goku could play. He'd destroy the bat.
Piccolo could play.
They play in Dragon Ball Super. They do the baseball episode.
Yes!
Do they use... episode. Solid steel bats and solid steel baseballs.
They limit their power.
I think they put ki into the baseball and into the bat.
So it doesn't just explode immediately.
Yeah. Because that's how Trunks' sword works, too.
Yeah, yeah.
His rad sword. We even talk about Trunks.
Right, because...
the time travel.
King Cold? What's his name?
King Cold takes the sword and thinks...
And he's like, oh, now you gave us the sword! Wah! Tink... Oh.
That's rad. But yeah, no, I don't have time to read through all of the Z manga now, but like, you're really tempting me to do that.
Well, with all these things, I think it's you have to
book club when we've read it and we're like, man, I want to read it again, or I want to read this part. Like, I feel like that is a good pick when it's like,
I've said this before, but like series that have like a bunch of chapters already, I always have trouble getting started because it feels like a commitment, even though I can just read a chapter or two at a time. Yeah. It's not a big deal.
I mean, it is a commitment. Like, there's like a thing. It's like I had a big series that I'm working on and I caught up. So now I get to pick a new one.
Yeah. But it's like a mental block kind of thing. So
I'll tell you a weird synchronicity. Speaking of the manga and aging and passing the torch, the chapter of Super that came out a week after his death, so it had already been in production, was all about Gohan showing Goku the beast mode from Super Hero.
Mm-hmm.
And Goku being like proud of him and telling him like he could feel secure now that Gohan can like take care of the planet and everything.
Aww.
And
because Cell wasn't enough.
Well, but Gohan got really weak there after Cell. He got complacent.
Yeah.
But now the beast mode, like, and there was a whole thing there we were going with it where like. Gohan's beast mode, they're thinking about having Gohan and like Brawly train to harness Broly's like beast mode. But yeah, no, it was this whole it was just a weird synchronicity that it happened to be this like gentle passing of the torch chapter.
It's really cutely fitting in a way that wasn't expected.
Well, I also saw a meme today with that was Goku talking to Broly, and it boiled down to, "Welcome to the team, second Vegeta."
Yeah. There's the thing about growing older. I mean, we've talked about him a lot, but watching Vegeta, I mean, a lot of the characters, but specifically Vegeta, become older and changing to an extent. And
yeah.
Finding his space, like, and things.
A lot of people don't like Super. A lot of people don't consider it canon, but, like, one of my favorite things about Super is, like, good husband and father Vegeta.
Yeah, everything I've heard from it sounds great.
That's, like, a character arc that was very needed, because Goku doesn't have a character arc.
Well, right.
Goku's at one.
Just a lovable dumbass from beginning to end.
We talked about that during our villains episode. It's like
multiple times.
And the heroes episode, we've talked about it all the time. It's like the fact that you can actually have a journey with Vegeta is a very compelling part of the character, because he starts off as basically irredeemable and somehow is redeemed. For a character arc, it's pretty brilliant.
It adds drama too, because when Vegeta fights, you really don't know what he's going to do, because he still has to reckon with, like, do I execute a threat? Do I give them a chance because I'm a good guy now? Like,
he's still a bit of an exciting wild card.
Well, and then he sort of turns into Goku, where he's like, I'll let them power up because I want to fight the strongest people.
Yeah.
Where he's like, hey, Cell, go eat those those androids so that we can fight when you're perfect. Like, what are you doing? Stop it.
Old man wants one big fight left, and then he gets owned.
I think that's my favorite thing about Dragon Ball, is just the completely amoral but somehow still honorable, like, competition of the Saiyans.
Hmm.
The fact that so much about it, of them being Saiyans and, like, Vegeta showing up, is hundreds of chapters into it.
Yeah.
That's probably why they separated Z there. That was the start of the sci-fi stuff.
Yeah, maybe. That's almost true. Assuredly, but...
Actually, that's a really good point, because the tournament arc was still in that sort of, like, mysticism stuff.
Yeah, I mean, him being a Saiyan is already a completely crazy, surprising thing to the regular Japanese people who had come through with Dragon Ball, so...
Everybody thought Piccolo was a demon.
Yep. He was, until
he was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Toriyama thought Piccolo was a demon.
Then he learned otherwise. But yeah, it's Dragon Ball. Guys, you know to read it. Guys, gals, non-binary pals, and all the others.
There's something to be said about reading it, not only because it's good, but because it's a piece of history.
Also, to read it and not just osmosis it, as somebody who did a lot of that and went back properly, and it's like, oh no, this is worthwhile.
I mean, we're talking about something that started in the 80s and is still going on today. Like me.
Hey, there you go.
It's worth checking out.
Yeah. When did Dragon Ball start? I was born in 88.
I forget what exact.
How far in was Dragon Ball when I was born in 93?
What was the exact year?
What chapter came out in June of 93? Where are we at?
Dragon Ball started in 1983.
Shit.
Yeah.
Dang.
I don't feel so old now.
I found something older than me.
Yeah, right.
Dragon Ball is very old and it's popular. You can also be very old and very popular.
Well, I think we about covered that. So suffice to say, you should read Dragon Ball. I'm going to read it.
It's sparking.
It's sparking. And let me know if you want me to do mini episodes about each chapter.
Not like that. Maybe we can check in every now and then.
The Dragon Ball Minute. Oh, wait, that's copyright.
I would love to hear NPR slowly review Dragon Ball. I would love to hear them try to maintain their composure.
I'll do it
as
just
Bulma is drugged, as Bulma is felled up, as
molested
Bulma
constantly by children and old men.
And they're like, why do people like this? What is happened?
In this chapter, we can see Bulma's bare ass because she's forgot that she's wearing
not wearing her underwear.
And is trying to get the Dragon Ball from Master Roshi. So, wait, no, people should read it. Forget about that.
Ignore that part. Power through it. I promise you. I know it's icky.
She's canonically 16.
Oh, that makes it legal in Japan.
Don't think about it. Don't think about it too hard. Just don't think about it too hard. Just, I promise you.
Okay. Well, that'll do it for another episode of That Time I Got Reincarnated in the Same World as an Anime Podcaster. You can find all our social media links like Discord, Patreon, and all that other stuff on our website, animepodcasterreincarnation.com. You can also find articles on various topics as well as new manga reviews. We'd love to hear from you on any of those social platforms.
Why is that part of the outro? Nobody's written a new review because we have our show for that now.
You still could.
But we're not.
We'd love to hear from you on any of those social platforms, or you can leave a comment right on the site. You can even just send us an email to isekaisenseisama@gmail.com. We're always looking for feedback, and we'd love to chat with you about the topics that we cover. If you prefer to listen to the podcast in high-quality stereo, be sure to check out our YouTube channel, where we simul-release all the episodes. We also release that version early on Patreon, so if you can't wait, you can join us there to listen as soon as the episode is ready. In addition to getting the episodes early, all tiers get to vote on the next series we cover on Heron Addiction, also get bonus episodes, as well as getting a shout-out.
We had a really good bonus episode recently that I think was very compelling, and I hope people listen to it.
Yeah.
Go check it out.
We released that in lieu of an actual episode for April Fool's Day. Mm-hmm. unfortunately, not very many people get to listen to it. So... the lowest tier is only $1.
Yeah.
So I think the bonus episodes are worth it.
You can learn about your own personal manga magazine and who you put in and why.
Well, we've got all kinds of perks out there. But we also want to know what perks people want. So let us know if there's something that you want as a perk. And of course, we want to thank our patrons. This is the shout out portion. Where I am going to butcher some German. Ich wünsche einen wunderbaren Tag. I apologize. That's just
not St. John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Has such beautiful German been spoken by an American?
I'm a jelly donut. Anyways, thank you, Cake Dwarf. Our German friend.
Thank you, German friend. Let us butcher your language in front of you every
I'm
episode.
I'm trying.
An attempt was made.
So, Cake Dwarf is at our Reincarnator tier. Also at our Reincarnator tier, a friend of the show, Moon, who is a moderator on the r/Otomai Isekai subreddit.
Thank you, Moon. And thank you, Cake Dwarf.
At our Merchant tier, we've got Kill Hour, who was not impressed with our light novel episode. And last and certainly not least, at our commoner tier, we've got Rena. So thank you so much to all our patrons. And before we go, we want to thank Sagoimart. Don't forget, you can get 15% off your first order by using the link in the description or using the code APR15 at checkout. All right. Well, as always, Ben, you want to tell us what you got going on in Words About Books?
That's a good question. I think more Thrawn episodes.
Oh no!
There's more Thrawn.
they're going heavy on Thrawn. There's What's always going to be more Thrawn. I think
it's a marathon.
And then I think we got The Giver, and then I think Murder She Wrote.
I'm waiting for that one. Impressive. I'm interested.
I'm excited for that one.
My grandmother was so into Murder She Wrote. I have seen so much Murder She Wrote.
Get to read some Murder She Wrote.
It's by Jessica Fletcher and Donald Blain.
Jessica Fletcher being the fictional character in Murder She Wrote.
Yes. Yes. I'm looking forward to that one. I mean, yeah, we got Thrawn. Yeah, we got The Giver. But like Murder, She Wrote, that's the one I'd tune in for.
And don't forget the Lord of the Rings episodes, specifically The Hobbit right now.
The Hobbit, yeah. See if we make it to Lord of the Rings.
And yeah. You could get those early by signing up for the Words About Books Patreon, if Ben would actually get them out on time.
There's going to be, yeah, that's supposed to be the benefit for those, but there's also going to be some bonus episodes. They'll be, I'll give you a hint. They will be rants. They will be at my expense. I'm going to torture myself with the thing I don't like. So
people really like that for some reason.
I think that's the something people would be happy to pay for. Also, Ernest Cline wrote another book, if anybody's
wondering.
So.
Why? He's probably got so much money.
Maybe that's what I should do for the higher tiers on our Patreon, is have higher tier exclusive bonus episodes where I just read the worst possible things I can find.
I mean, we're planning for that to do mainlines things because I need to break you, so.
Well, I'm enjoying the Hobbit episodes, so keep it up. Well, thanks again for listening. And, you know, we want to thank Toriyama-sensei for all he's done. And so I'll say, Toriyama-sensei, may your soul find peace as your namesake, as a beautiful bird at home on a majestic mountain.
That was something I didn't talk about yet. I never followed this up on podcast. I bet wrong on waifus in Chainsaw Man because I forgot, as much as the internet loves goblin women, they love being simps, and that's why Makima is doing gangbusters, and I'm like, I'm so stupid, it was right there!
Yeah.
They loved being stepped on. They love not having choice. They love being...
You're the one who's always about... Dami mommy.
I know, but Makima's different.
Makima's scrawny though. That's not.
She's
what...
not big and she's not cool. She's just
a psychological Dami mommy.
She's just controlling. She's not cool, and she's specifically written to be like literally a toxic demon. Like it's not. Again, when has that stopped people? Why am I?
Yeah.
But I just feel really dumb for just completely missing the thing that was right there in front of me.
Ben, I don't know how he's gonna feel about Nayuta.
I know he's gonna have. I know how he's gonna feel about how the internet's gonna feel.
That's how I have.
That's
feelings.
Gonna be fucking weird.
I can. Yeah. Wait. I'm. I just caught up on Undead Unluck today, which means I can start going back through Chainsaw Man and catching up, however long that will take me.
You know, I haven't seen anything weird like on the subreddit and everything. So.
I think the subreddit like. Is any moderated community is probably going to
any
clean that stuff up.
Any maintained garden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't let that live there, but...
So I guess at some point I will catch up on Chainsaw Man and we will talk about it.
And then who
it.
Else? What's the girl... What's the girl who's war?
Asa.
Asa, yeah.
I mean, that's more normal. Yeah. Also, she's an idiot.
I mean, what? I came into Makima specifically coming from a toxic relationship at the time, and that informed my reading of it a lot. So.
It's sort of funny, because,
kind of
like.
A biohazard side on that at all times for me.
Without really spoiling anything, because this isn't like, oh, this is exactly what's happening. But it's funny, in the second arc, it's sort of like all the adults are dead.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because everybody's running around, there's all these kids doing stuff, and, like, it seems like no one's in charge. Like, even the public safety people who are like around Denji are also kids.
Young people. Yeah. Teens and whatnot.
It's like, what the hell is going on?
They got moved out of the magazine and now they're more kid focused, teen focused than ever.
What?
Oh no, I was like, I was thinking of Akira Toriyama, and I think he would have appreciated if he could have made it to 69. But you nice. Can cut that.
He's 69 today.
I had a really fun moment at the wrestling show I was at, where I announced the pre-show, and it was like both the wrestlers, myself and the ref, was our first time, and it's like, we're the young blood coming in. And, like, all of them are in their early 20s, and I'm 30, and I'm like, I'm old, but I'm younger than the other guy, which makes me the young blood.
Ben, I got Kermit hooked on this song, and there's a specific line in there, because I don't understand you. You have yet to learn how to speak. And you said that. I was like, yeah.
It's a good song.
Been some time and I've got to get
Hey Brad, by. How does he keep getting better? Every episode, yeah.
Find some new way to... That's a different song though.
I know, but it's the same
the
guy.
The time that we spend together makes me feel good. We got a good thing going.
I'm going to have to listen to that after this.